The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Second hour of the National Intel Report on this 19th day of February, 2018. Temperature outside about 75. If the sun was out today, it would have been closer to 85 in the month of November. Steve Elkins?
Yes, John. You know, I was... You were just talking about that article, the SSRIs. Interesting. I had a lot of questions on that over the weekend, Sunday.
Yeah.
And I did notice something very interesting. Ron, I don't know if you noticed this, if you watch any of the footage on mainstream media, but I saw a girl walking and texting at a time. It looks like they were supposed to be, they should have been running and panicking to get out of this area of the school. And I said to my wife, I said, look at this girl. I ran it back a couple of times. She's just like walking in a day in a park here, and she's texting. Doesn't look scared at all, and unlikely what you would see for a 13, 14, 15-year-old kid, especially a young girl who would have been panicked and crying and screaming, and I didn't see any of that. So I am questioning this whole shooting also. I'm going to look deep into this. It was going at the same time as a scheduled event, a shooting. It was supposed to be a school shooting. You're correct on that. And we do see that these false flags usually incorporate one of these type drills. So I've also found that the mainstream media loves their little catchy phrases, and they're referring to this as the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. And, so they're loving this.
And the information is available. Why are they not asking the questions? 9/11, there was a drill going on at the exact same time. Boston bombing, a drill going on at the same time, over and over and over again. What happened out in Vegas? Same thing. Now the ME out there does an autopsy on this Paddock character, and it turns out, I don't know whose body he was ripping into, whose corpse, but evidently it wasn't Stephen Paddock's, because he was a few inches too short, a few pounds too light, and his eye color changed. And of course, we have what do we have again? We have the FBI swooping in, taking all the information that goes down a rabbit hole someplace, and that's it. That's it. Here we have the FBI being raked over the coals because, well, people had reported to the FBI. Well, I guess they're not on the job. I guess the director of the FBI should step down. And I'm listening to this mindless chatter and this banter of why are you not asking the real questions? It used to be in this country where we could kind of have an indication that, well, maybe somebody's going to ask some hard questions, and they're going to have to be answered. Not anymore. Certainly not anymore. Let me finish this up and get to the callers here. As the Citizens Commission on Human Rights notes, before the late 1980s, mass shootings and acts of senseless violence were relatively unheard of. Prozac, the most well-known SSRI, was not yet even on the market. When Prozac did arrive, it was marketed as a panacea for depression, which resulted in huge profits for Eli Lilly. Of course, other drug companies had to create their own cash cow and followed suit by marketing their own brand of antidepressant. And subsequently, mass shootings and other violent incidents started to be reported. More often than not, the common denominator was that the shooters were on antidepressants or withdrawing from one. And this is not about an isolated incident or two, but numerous shootings. The issue of psychotropic medication playing a role in mass shootings is not some conspiracy theory. It's very real. And the drug manufacturers list the potential deadly side effects on the very inserts of every one of these drugs. But the mainstream media and the government continue to ignore or suppress this information. Why is that? In a clear example of how beholden mainstream media is to the pharmaceutical industries who manufacture and market these wonder drugs, Fox News' Sean Hannity was recorded this week blatantly cutting off a reporter. They say she's a reporter. She's actually a talk show host who dared mention Nicholas Cruz's reported association with antidepressants. In a news segment this week, Hannity was interviewing radio talk show host Gina Loudon, who tried to bring up Cruz's association with SSRIs. I'm going to play this for you, folks. Listen to this.
You hope they are, and I don't know what they're doing, but, you know, I myself would volunteer to help, as I know the good doctor here would. I think we have to take a hard look at one thing that we're not talking about yet, too, Sean, and that's psychotropic drugs. My guess is we'll find out that, like most of these shootings,
that's happened after
this,
many incidents.
This guy was a prescriber.
Dr. Boder, we don't
after
have a lot of time, sir, but we appreciate
don't have
your
a whole
insight.
Lot of time. No, what?
Sean, what we need are not metal detectors. We need mental health detectors. We need people to say something. The tremendous work of the Broward Sheriff's Office, they don't...
Wow. What? So now it's going to be mental health screening. Gentlemen, what did they do in communist Russia? They would declare you to be a mental incompetent and send you some work farm or some gulag someplace. You had some kind of mental deficiency. What do we hear about Donald Trump? Well, he's a mental deficient, obviously. Look what the man's doing. Whose opinion is being expressed? But why is it being carried? It is so fast and loose and so irresponsible that I can hardly stand to believe it. Now, I understand. If you watch Fox News, you're going to see drug manufacturers with their spiffy little products that you need to get on, even though they're telling you, by law, some of the side effects, that it could kill you or you might kill other people. Not in those exact words. But how much of the revenue? If we were to seriously talk about drug companies and the stuff that they're pushing, how long do you think Fox News would be in business? Is this a trade-off that we're willing to take? You want to lower a bar? You want to lower a standard? Well, hell, let's just go on the damn things and we'll escape reality. Hell, we won't even know when the cops bust in our door and shoot us because we're going to be in freaking la-la land.
Hey, John, what do I assume they still exist when they did back in the day when I went to high school, but don't they still have school counselors in school? Ron, don't they still have counselors?
Yeah, they do.
Don't the counselors get to know the students basically pretty much throughout a school year, the troublemakers, the ones who are...
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. It's up to the student to be active and get involved in the counseling.
Well, we had teachers that stood in the hallway and watched and looked for the problem, the troublemaker kids, who turned them into the counselor, and they had to go see a counselor and the principal quite often. So if you were a bad kid in trouble, they knew who you were. So I don't know what's changed now.
Why do I still remember the name of my high school counselor, Mr. Mackey? Why do I still remember that guy's name? Because I ended up in his office a few times asking me what my problem was. And I said, my problem here is this school. In the ninth grade, years ago, when I was in high school, I'm literally watching teachers being shoved around and badmouthed in bathrooms. Not to the degree that in later years that I heard from this same high school. I just couldn't believe it. And it used to be, when I was a younger man, that you're exactly right, Steve. They were the hall monitors. They were the people that were there every single day watching the kids, grading them, giving them a grade on their acumen as how are you absorbing this and how are you passing my test? In other words, the knowledge test. But they saw the individual. They saw what they were doing. They were seeing how they were interacting with other kids. We knew who the troublemakers or the people, the class clowns, we used to call them. And, you know, more regularly they would be sent down to the principal's office or they would be sent to the counselor's office going, you know, You know, that might be pretty cute to you, but it's kind of really disruptive. This, let me remind you of what we're here to do. Not turn you into some automaton, not to have you programmed that this is, you're going to cookie cutter and this is exactly how you're going to respond in your classroom every single day. This was a dynamic, a living dynamic. And these were kids, these were young adults. Minds not yet fully formed, minds full of mush. But they were trying to do one thing at a time. They were trying to teach them the three R's, you know, the writing, the reading, and the arithmetic. And by the way, they did teach history, real history, and real civics in the class when I was young. But now we just have a bunch of tweeting democracy freaks that they're not even sure what sex they are. And somebody had mentioned, that, well, you know, gosh, the school, you know, it's unsafe. I don't feel safe going to school. That was not the school's job, to wrap an armor shield around you and protect you. That was the parents' job. There was a problem, you talk to the counselors, you talk to the principal, you talk to the teachers, you talk to your kids. That is not happening anymore.
I agree.
And everything is put on automatic pilot, and everybody wonders what the problem is. Now, Steve, let me finish this up here so we can move on to these callers. And I even have Chris Hinckley chiming in on this. Okay. Hang on there, Chris. Now, it's no secret the pharmaceutical industry wields immense control over the government and the media. It's their control which keeps any negative press about their dangerous products from even airing. Now, most people likely don't even know the scope of this control. There's an old saying, folks, don't bite the hand that feeds you. So if you're looking at Fox, F-A-U-X News, to be the arbiter of truth, justice, and the American way, go see your doctor and get on some antidepressants. Tony in North Dakota. Hello, Tony.
Oh, John and Steve and Ron. Thanks for the upbeat and sane program on this world of ours today. I had to call because when you first started the program, that feeling that you projected coming across the airwaves was the feeling I had about 2008. All these things, in fact, I stood on the back deck of my house with my daughter in 2008, and I leaned over at sunset and I said, you know, there's an evil wind blowing here. Things are not good. I've collected information from you, especially for the last year, and many others on RBN, and passed that and disseminated that information around to, well, my past friends, my past church buddies, and now my family. And they have all turned from me. They all think I'm insane.
Yeah.
When I left town, I left Fargo, North Dakota, back in 2009 and went to the country, they thought I was insane. But I said, things are not good in this country. Things are bad. And, of course, your program and many others play it all out. And I turn right around dutifully, and I tell everybody these things. I says, we got to do something. And the reaction I got from all these groups, from my so-called friends, my friends at church, my family members is, we know, but we don't want to know. We don't want you to tell us because, you know, we got vacations, we got 401ks, we got a life to live, we're too busy. We just don't bother me. And after a while, now I sit out here and I have no one to talk to. Because when I call them, oh, it's Tony, he's that crazy one, and they all whisper. Yeah,
you sound pretty sane to me. So you have built an isolation room that nobody. You're the only one in there. Nobody wants to talk to you.
Nobody, not because I left them. It's just that when I told them the things they needed to know. And I thought I could do, you know, I was going to tell them and that the world was going to change. We're going to all do something about this.
Huh.
Exactly the opposite happened with me for all these years.
Well, and
now,
you know, Tony,
go ahead.
Tony, I was just going to say here that many hands make for light work. Why do an informational program? why take the time to educate people when they're going to say, you know, I'm not arguing with you, I just can't participate because I want to live out my illusion of what my life is. And they have absolutely, you want to tell me how much you love your children by not letting them know that, look, some things have gone awry. My grandparents, my parents, my grandparents, my great-granddaddy and great-grandma was in a different time. Things are not like this anymore. And then to get this back from people that, yeah, I know, but it's just too depressing, just shut up. Is this a country, is this a country you were born in? And is this the one that you want to shuffle off this mortal coil in? The difference is, Tony, there's no place else to go. This is it.
Yeah, I know. Where on earth are we going to go? Actually, I've looked all over. There's no other place to receive the information you have other than RBN.
Well, all, Tony, this is going to sound flip, and it's going to sound like, John, why did you say that kind of statement? But this is what you need to do. First, you need to outlive these people. Second of which, set a day or two aside. When they are in the ground, cold, I want you to drink a lot of water and then go piddle on their graves. All right?
Hey, John, I got a question for Tony. John, I got a question for Tony.
Right.
Tony, you still there? Yeah. Tony, have you ever felt stifled in your discussion on anything, any topic, because you worried about having a label placed on you to shut you up? Have you ever felt you had to watch your speech because of somebody's going to point a finger and put a label on you? And give me an example. If we point out bad behavior by somebody who is Jewish, if we point that out, we're pointing out the bad behavior. We're not picking on the Jewish person. We're just pointing out bad behavior, but they come back to shut us up to say, you're an anti-Semite. That's why you're bringing this up, and that's not the truth. What we're pointing out is bad behavior. But have you ever felt that you've been stifled in conversation with anybody or in a group of people because of how they may point a finger and label you to shut you up?
No, that's probably my problem. I don't shut up, and it gets to the point where they shut me up. And, you know, that gets very frustrating. And, of course, the communication stops after that, and so I have very little communication just because of that. But this started a long time ago. This didn't just happen recently. I've been in this position for a long time. One more thing I'd like to bring up, if I could. You were talking about SSRIs. My son's in North Korea, or South Korea right now. Actually, he takes a step. He's in North Korea. He's on the border. He just got there 2 days ago. And before he left, he was in a post down in the southeast. I don't really want to say where, but he is a sergeant, and he receives recruits and gets them ready for going to Korea. He's in charge of anywhere from 15 to 19 guys. The people that came there are, I'm not kidding, are so drugged up. Unbelievable. These kids come and they have profiles on them. One has a profile that he took to Korea. You won't believe this. He doesn't have to carry a gun, and you can't yell at him, and you can't make him do push-ups.
Because of his mental condition?
Whatever condition this is, he took it to his staff sergeant. He says, what can I do with this kid? He can't function. And the staff sergeant took it higher, and he said, you just shut up and do it. And he's in yours, and you're going to take care of him. So from up higher, this came down. But what it really is, he told me, Dad, I'm going over there, 15, 19 guys, and there isn't one of them that I would watch my back. Mm. And they all came recently from boot camp. He's scared to death.
Yeah.
He's scared to death. And so they're drugged. He says they're all drugged up. And, of course, he's not the only one. My son, you can't even imagine how many injections they give him, and that's required when you're in the military. He's been overseas. This is going to be his fourth time, three over in the Middle East, and this is going to be in South Korea. You can imagine how many shots he's had. So,
are you insane. Tony, are you on good speaking terms with your son?
Oh, yes.
Okay, then I would suggest this. There's a battle going on, and we need real men to fight the battle. Tell them to get the hell out of the military, come home. The war is afoot here.
Oh, I know. He says, I don't want to go, Dad. I don't want to go, but I got these guys, and he was committed. He's going over there, and 3 months after he gets back, that's the end of his term, and he says, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
That's
but
good for him.
There's no problem with that. He wants out. Yeah.
Tony, are these men self-medicating, or is it something that's
been it? No, they know the program. They know how to go to first they go to the chaplains, and the chaplains refer them to the psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist, they give them what they need.
So you're talking policy and program, and now this has turned into one gigantic babysitting program with kids that are whacked out on antidepressant, and
the North Korean South Korean border.
Great. Wow. Great. Hmm. Great.
Maybe
he's not necessarily in that bad of a position when he says, you know, I don't have anybody that's got my back, because the last thing that I would want to do was somebody that's on an antidepressant and can't figure out what.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want him having a gun, not standing behind me. That's for damn sure. Whoa.
No, that's for sure. He's a Cav scout. He's the tip of the spear. If they go into North Korea, he's there.
Whoa.
So,
all right.
I'm not happy, but what can I do? I'm just a parent. Anyway, I just had to call because the feelings you had tonight, John, when you started the program, were my feelings in 2008. You have a great program. Thanks.
Thanks
a million.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate your call. This is real stuff, folks. You know, these are real people. These are real people going to other people and saying, look. You know, I mean, is it going to get ever bad enough that everybody breaks out in a what the hell's going on, I'm mad as hell, I'm not taking this stuff anymore moment? Is this what we're waiting for? Because,
you know, John, the military is loving this low unemployment. That's really not 4.1%. They love this.
Yeah.
Easy recruiting.
Well,
easy recruiting for these kids right now.
You know what? Let me take that a step further, because I said this to the boys. And hang on, Chris. I'm going to go to your call next. I said this to the boys at the Stop and Rob down here at 7-Eleven. They've got a feeling that something's going on. They're not being told the truth. And I said, like any time else, the country gets in deep financial trouble and we manage to whip up a war. I said, if we have World War III, just imagine. You got 90 million people sitting around with nothing to do. Yeah. Wow. Chris Hinckley, how are you, my friend? Hello, Chris.
Good, Mr. Stadmiller. Good to talk to you.
Now, you just said that, and I turned around and see if my long-dead daddy come walking into the room.
Well, it's always a pleasure, even, you know, in spite of the circumstances, but fantastic broadcast.
It's coming from the heart, and Chris, I'm telling you, you've been on this network how long now?
Quite a few years, I think about a decade.
About a decade.
On and off, yeah.
Now,
for a couple of years.
We've never paid you for being a talk show host on this network, have we?
No, and nothing that I've ever said has been censored or scripted. I've never received any direct.
And have you ever received a bill from us for being on this network like you would on the other network?
No.
Okay. See, here's our problem, folks. If we want to structure out like a commercial unit, then we got to come up with payrolls and insurances and this, that, and the other. These people are volunteers. Now, I want you just think about this for 1 second, because I don't think most people, Chris, really, really consider what they're even listening to. You are there every single day. Mike Rivero is there every single day. I try to be there every day. Other talk show hosts on this network are here when their time slot pops up, boom, they're live, they're on the air. These people, ladies and gentlemen, are not... I don't even know how to phrase this. I am stumbling over myself because here are people that are committed. They're not just volunteering. A volunteer, I can be there that day. Oh, no, I got something else to do. I can't be there. These aren't volunteers. These are talk show hosts on a network that have taken on the mantle of responsibility of being there every single day, and they are, and they're not receiving remuneration from this network. What do you call these people, folks? Crazy? Dedicated? Nothing else better to do than to hear themselves talk? Chris, I'm telling you, man, it's getting tougher.
I wish we lived in a country where no one would listen, instead of more and more people listening.
Yeah.
And like the Tonys of the world saying, I'm trying to tell people and nobody wants to hear. And the closer you get to the dam bursting, so to speak, the more that behavior seems to kind of indicate where you are. It's an indication, a mile marker along the way. And to the Tonys of the world, I would say the encouragement is that, you know, I don't know how long Tony and everyone else has been doing it, but in my experience, there's usually a gestation period. And for those who would still remain friends, you know, it's difficult. Like he said, it's kind of a come to Jesus moment when you're confronted with the reality of what's happening, and it's a life-changing confrontation. Somewhere in the back of your mind, there's, you know, the cognitive dissonance comes to a head, and you have to make some tough decisions in your life. Like you guys were talking about the psychotropics being advertised on the network, the clip you played of
Sean Hannity.
Her name on
yeah.
It. Yeah. Well, Mike Papantonio has been talking for quite some time about the fact that all of the major networks except for CBS have board members that are on these drug companies. And so, like you said, John, nobody's going to bite the hand that feeds them. But for the Tonys, I would say there's a gestation period. And after about 6 to 9 months, sometimes the real friends will come back and say, hey, did you hear or did you know? And usually end up kind of whispering under your breath, yeah, that's what I told you about, remember? Or not only that, but anyway, the one thing that I wanted to maybe throw in to the discussion, you guys, I forget who, I think it was Steve, either Steve or Ron brought up the school counselors, and you guys talked about that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And speaking of counselors, folks need to look into Jared Benenfeld, who is the guy who was treating Nicholas Cruz at some point, and his whole operation, he's a kind of what I would call a Martin Seligman type guy. He's one of the, I would say, kind of an MK Ultra psychotherapist type, basically. So, I mean, of all of the other harbingers in the discussion, Jared Benenfeld is just another, you know, Mangala sort of guy.
Yeah. You mentioned Papantonio, Mike. He's an attorney.
Yeah.
And he's the host of the international television show America's Lawyer. And he says that how he explains how the billions of dollars Big Pharma gives to mainstream media outlets every year, and this is used to keep them subservient and complicit in covering up a slew of deadly side effects from their products. So, you know, maybe, you know, what do you think people would think, Chris, if we got a hold of some drug manufacturer and they wanted to advertise? They got billions of dollars, by the way. They'll advertise on big outlets, small outlets. They don't care. They want you to buy the drugs. They want you going to your doctor and asking for that drug. How would you feel, Chris, if next week you come on the air and you heard a commercial for Paxil or any of these other antidepressants or mind-altering drugs?
The way I would phrase it, I would say that I would immediately drop what I was doing and head down to have an intense moment of fellowship with you and whomever else was responsible.
Very polite way of saying that. Hey, and by the way, Chris, I appreciate you when called to sub for me, you're always there. I have said to people before that you're not a ginormous animated person. In other words, you don't have this bowl you over personality on air.
No.
And I'm not telling you anything you don't know. And did anybody ever get back to you and say, well, you know what Statmiller said about you on his program? That listening to Chris Hinckley is not like watching paint dry, it's like listening to paint dry. Have you ever heard that?
No.
No? Well, I'm here to blow the whistle on myself. And I say, And I say this because you're up against the great one, the great compromiser on the other network. You're up against some pretty heavy duty trying to get some numbers and getting people to listen to you. I just wanted to tell you that on the tail of that, every time that I say, it is the content. Listen to what the man is saying. And Chris, I want to thank you for being on this network, picking up the mantle. Obviously, you felt it's your responsibility to do something about this madhouse that we're in. And I just want to thank you for being there every day, man.
It's my pleasure, and it's an honor to be able to do it. And I thank you for the opportunity. I'm no performance artist, to be sure, but I try to kind of almost be the antithesis of that, not intentionally, but because of the information, because that's what's important, and to try to help folks think for themselves, which is obviously something that is being eviscerated in this society.
Yeah, but can I tell you one other thing? I've mused as well that maybe I need a remote controlled cattle prod. When he gets a little bit too sleepy, I just hit the button and oh, there he goes. Chris, thank you, my friend. I appreciate it very much, and I appreciate you, and I appreciate the and every broadcast I've ever listened to you. I've learned something. You get down the rabbit hole, and you cover all the bases, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks, Chris.
I definitely try.
Great job.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Fantastic broadcast, and your guests as well.
Trying to fit it all in, Chris. Thanks, buddy.
Exactly. You bet.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
By the way, did we send Chris his bill for being on the network this month? You know what? I just thought of something. Wait a minute. Wow. Why don't we send each talk show host a bill? And drum up that money, saying, look, I just got a bill from the network. I got to pay for my time. Take the onus off of me. What's our guy's name on Sunday night there, our prison guard guy? Yeah, Robbie Ravolt. I asked the board op this weekend. I said, you know, a lot of people listen to a show. Tell him to push the donation thing. Well, evidently he did. I got in the office today. I got a $25 donation off of his show. You know what? Maybe I should be sending out bills.
You know, John, you know, I've talked to a couple of hosts on RBN, and they're not rich people.
No, they're not.
Barely making it.
Well, that's because they're dedicated to the cause, and the cause doesn't pay much nowadays, now does it?
No.
That's right. Dave, geez. Dave in Virginia. Hello, Dave.
Hey, John.
Hi.
Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
I don't know how you keep a calm voice in the middle of what appears to be a war zone to me. What do you think?
Well,
you're a war zone?
We're in a war zone, and I would like to pick up anything, any material that I can, and just go off and never quit until the other side is completely dead. But I know I can't do that.
Well, you know, I'm in my late 50s, and I've been looking at this thing for quite a while now, and it looks to me like alternative media is the only thing that we've got. I mean, you turn on the TV now, it's mostly Jews, you know, and I wasn't raised anti-Semite. My father was an officer in the Army. I grew up on Army bases around the United States and Germany. And we're just being blitzkrieged by PSYOPs, cultural PSYOPs.
Yeah.
And
Dave, here's the basis. Now, if you go to any Jew, and what I really say, this is unfair, because there are good Jews. We've had Jews that were actually on this network and did outstanding programming, couldn't find anything wrong with it at all. And I lean toward that political aspect of the Zionist thing. But if you look at the liberals, almost 100% of the quote-unquote Jews are liberal. They're pushing some sort of communistic or socialistic or I'm really not down with your program, or at least I'm anti-Donald Trump. Have you noticed this?
Well, yeah. And, you know, if you look at a lot of these newscasters, I mean, there's a big, huge Russian connection involved, too. So So, I mean, people are accusing Trump, which I think we should support 100%.
Well.
But they're accusing Trump of colluding with the Russians, but it's actually the mass media that's doing it.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I found, and I am a social psychologist, and we don't learn any of this military psyop stuff in graduate school. So I've had to go back and kind of restudy it, and I found that the older material, kind of like the Joseph McCarthy material back in the 50s, is actually more accurate in explaining what's going on here. And, you know, I heard that guy call in a while ago, and he said that he was isolated. And that's one of the communist tactics, because I think that the Jews are using communist tactics. I think the tactics being used developed during the Bolshevik Revolution. But I go to military college just to get my books now on psyops, psychological conflict, psychological operations, because I'm finding a lot of enlightenment in those areas. Yeah. And I just wanted to read you something out of one of these books that I got, Global Psychological Conflict. It's the National Security Management. It's written in 61 out of the Industrial College of the Armed Forces. And it's talking about communist crowd psychology. It's short and sweet. The communists have discovered that crowds are not formed just by direct physical contact among a mass of people, such as meetings or demonstrations. Instead, crowd attitudes can be created among people who are physically isolated. It is merely necessary to arouse excessive fears, exploit a calamity, stimulate a panicky attitude, give signals for action against scapegoats, or for actions with a symbolic character, and keep the majority of the population paralyzed. One of the great objectives is to induce in all hostile groups the attitude of no will. Now, what we're dealing with here is that, you know, the American society is basically individualistic. We have our own families, our own jobs, our own finances, basically our own worlds, and it's basically been cool. I mean, I had a blast in this country in the 70s and 80s when I was younger. But, you know, the psyops is seeping in, the endless war, you know, we got 17 school shootings within the last 6 months, so the thing is really, really escalating, and all my bells are going off. So I just, you know, I don't want to take up too much of your time, I know you've got other callers, but one of the things that I'm not seeing as an analyst is that nobody, mainstream or alternative, is trying to organize people. We're still isolated. We're going to CNN, Fox, MSNBC, and it is all the same. It's packed full of Jews or Jesuits.
Okay, Dave, we can have as much time as necessary in this discussion, because you're talking some good stuff here. The problem is with doing what you're talking about is organizing. I help raise an army, literally. You probably do not know this, but I was me and another guy and a couple other ones that came right on our heels and set this thing off. We literally raised an army in this country. Now, there's a group of people that were donning the camo and practicing and doing the field stuff and getting prepared. Government wasn't sending them a check. They weren't subsidizing their bullets or their beans or anything else. We literally raised an army in this country. It was called the militia. But if you look at what's going on right now, Dave, you're going to raise the army for the political opposition to what we're seeing right now. And the only thing we're going to have is mass crowd beating up the other guy in the streets. The ideology is going to be taken to the streets, and we're going to beat the crap out of each other. And this is what I'm seeking to avoid. The people the people that listen to this network, we were hoping that once you garner the picture of what's really going on, you are going to be able to be a self-functioning unit unto yourself. You're not going to need a gaggle of emotional tampon people around you. That you're going to be able to operate in the field, in whatever environment, by yourself, because you're going to have the needed tools in which to do so.
Well, I'm not sure that's going to work. I mean, 80% of the American population lives in cities. And right now, this economy is already inside a huge trap. That's another thing that nobody's talking about, is this $2 quadrillion derivatives market. All they've got to do is flip a switch. Did you notice when the stock market was collapsing on that one day that the stock market fell? but we lost about 5%. You know, I'm looking at that as some sort of a warning.
Yeah.
But if we were to have a 1929 event and everybody's isolated and the trucks stop rolling, it's not going to be pretty, and there's not going to be enough time to organize. So you're going to have a bunch of
Dave, here again, I'm going to ask you, organize for what?
Well, that's going to be, it's a complicated problem. I think that,
No, I don't have the time necessary. I'm going to ask you some direct questions, and I want you to just give me your gut reaction and your answer. What kind of opposition are you trying to build here? Are you trying to build groups that fall out in the street with placards, or they want to get together and elect the right political campaign guy, or put him into, what are you saying?
It's going to be complicated. It's going to have to be kind of a quasi-political thing. I mean, if you go with this rugged, militia type of thing, I think that you're going to have a small tent. I think the tent has to be as large as it possibly can be. And anybody that's saying, you know, I've looked at some of these guys like Vanguard, and you can't join them if you've got tattoos. Well, that's crazy. I mean, 65% of our military guys have tattoos. So, I mean, you have to have a big tent.
Okay.
It has to be kind of quasi-political, but the main thing that you need to do is to make it local. You need to start connecting people locally so that they can get out of the isolation and feel a part of something larger than themselves.
To be their emotional tampons, to be their support. We're trying to build... Listen to me, Dave. Dave, I've listened to you enough. Now, please listen to me. I'm going to reiterate what I just told you. This is not going to be a collective emotional tampon you can call your friend after I have dinner as to what political plan we have tomorrow. The system is broke. It is in control. We have been talking about the deep state, but these are just the asset actors that you're seeing in and around Washington, D.C. We're in serious trouble. Steve, tell this gentleman what I had spoken to you about today.
About the banking industry?
No.
The banking thing?
Come on.
Oh, the other thing about London?
About the revolution.
Oh, about the revolution. I'm trying to think here. We talked so much, half an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, you were saying that, you know, like you said when you started this afternoon, the show, that your hands are tied, basically, and we're fighting a battle that, the old saying is you can't beat City Hall, and I think they've come up with that saying, so you don't even attempt
The point of my conversation to you today, Steve, was based on this. Have we seen enough? Have we seen enough go on 10 years ago? Hell, 100 years ago. The assaults against the Constitution, the whittling away of the freedoms, the deep state that needs to be protected from us because we're really the bad guys. We're the tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists. We don't like what you say. We're just going to shoot you down in the street. This is the kind of thing that... What, Dave?
We have got an army already, and it's just disorganized, and it's isolated. But the army's already there. And I think that when you start to build a crowd, then people will say, well, there's a crowd, and they'll start to join.
For what purpose, Dave? I want you to think this thing through. I ask you a question. Now, obviously, you've been thinking about this. Dave, shut up for 1 second. I'll let you speak. But hold on.
Okay.
Now, obviously, Now, you've given this a lot of thought. Now, you're talking about this magical mass of people out there, and we're going to create a movement. I am asking you specific questions, and you're dodging me.
I'm not trying to.
You are. Maybe you might not be trying to, but you are. I said to Steve earlier today, based on all of what has gone on, I have gotten the complaints from years ago going, what the hell are you waiting for? Give us the call. Say, hey, it's time now. There is enough suffering. There is enough in place right now to subjugate this country and all of its people to beat us into submission. They've already robbed us blind. We're out here like little logs floating in the ocean hoping we don't get too waterlogged and sink to the bottom. We are all drowning in this, Dave. So I want you to
I think, and I hate to say this, but we have been so psyops by disinformation about the National Socialist Party. And I'm not saying anything about Nazis, but I think that
You know, if you look at the beginnings of the National Socialist Party in Germany, there were a small group of people, 15 or 20 guys, that grew into a huge army. And I think if we study those processes on how they built that grassroots organization up into the National Socialists, and they basically took over the government, then I think that that's going to be the right direction. I mean, we can't continue to stay isolated.
Hey.
We have to kind of borrow from some of the people, from some of the tactics and techniques that have been used that were successful.
We don't have, look, I'm going to tell you something. We don't have the ammunition. We don't have the endless piles of money that what you perceive as being the opposition in this country has at its disposal. We have got multi...
George Washington and the Revolutionary Army were all volunteer, and they didn't even have food, so they had to melt down their pots for bullets. So it can be done. It was done in the formation...
Dave, I'm not going to continue this conversation with you on the air. Do me a favor. Give my board op here your number. I have got to have a conversation and kind of clear some of this stuff out of the way because, quite frankly, my friend, you're thinking and talking to me I heard 20 years ago. Okay?
Okay, well, I'm trying.
I understand. You're trying. I'm trying to clarify where you're going, and all I'm getting is more stuff that I heard 20 years ago. So, Dave, do me a favor. Do me a favor. Mike, take him down. Get his number. I will call him. All right. Gentlemen, was I too hard on him?
No, I don't think you're too hard.
Well, I'm inviting new callers in, and I don't want to be bullying them, but I'm trying to vet their thinking process out. I was part of the people, the small group of people, literally, that raised an army, a literal army of what he just talked about 20 years ago. And I'm being talked to like I don't know my ass from a hole in the ground. And it's not a personal affront to me. I am just trying to retool the effectiveness of what we're trying to do so these people get it. And they're not getting it. What the hell? We got to collectively get together for our strength? Bull puppy. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know, I have to.
I think I just scared Steve into God's.
No, we learned from history.
Get out of your system. Go ahead.
We learned from history, and the reason the Magna Carta was passed, and you have to ask yourself, what made the people so angry? Why? What made them want to get up and start the fight? And it was war and taxes.
Right.
We haven't reached that point of the taxes being so unbearable that people will start to react to it. So, you know, I think that's what we're waiting for.
Thank you. I was just messaging the board operator, and he wasn't paying attention to me.
Like I said, Ron, they're still too comfortable. They haven't been taxed enough.
You're right.
When they get taxed too much and they're uncomfortable and their standard of living goes down, they'll get motivated. They'll act out.
Oh, everyone will be talking about the same subject at that point.
Yes. Yeah. There you go.
Well, I'm, gentlemen, if this turns out and we don't offer something as a viable resistance, what it's going to take to undo what we have seen doing, well, I'm getting this little vision in my head that somebody plants a bullet in my brain and I grow these little wings and I'm flying off the earth here, shuffling off the mortal coil, and I guess I'm going to have to make up a song as... singing on my way out, playing my little harp. I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. Might not be. Go ahead,
John. Do you have enough time to promote RBN for donations?
I thought that's what we were doing.
I think you'd need a direct line and some other things.
Well,
to tell them.
I don't know any more as to what I need to do.
Phone numbers.
This is frustrating. 800-724-2719, extension 3. Call that number, make a donation. And again, folks, make up your mind. Are you going to support that? You've been listening to the callers. This is what I've been telling people. This network goes out. You've got some other things out there that ain't bad, but they ain't enough of it. We know what we're doing here. We've been doing it for a very long time, and you're listening to a guy right now that finally figured out it's not time to raise that army yet. What is badly needed is we've got to fill the little brain basket with knowledge. That's why I did a divergent path from the 90s. Been there, done that. Going to have to do it again. But this time, I'm not going to sit there and be a handmaiden or a tampon to those people. They're going to know exactly what they're doing there and the reasons why, if necessary. I want you people to break your preconceived notions of how you think things are going to work out, because this is going to come down to a physical fight. Do you get that? Do you understand that? And quit namby-tambing around like you don't know what the hell to do next. Make a declaration. Make up your mind. Do something. Something. Support those that are willing to hang their butts out over the line and to continue doing it. I've had Cody Snodgrass. I don't know if this guy's dead right now. Here's a man that's displaying courage. These hosts on this network, they're doing it for no pay. What the hell are you doing? Now, if you're starting to get the idea that either I'm sliding my cheese off the cracker here, or I'm getting to the point where I'm pretty fed up with the whole damn thing, you're right. Because there are going to be people that stand up and literally are going to die. Are you going to hide behind him? Or are you just going to go quietly skulking off in the night going, hell, I didn't know those people. No, that's not my idea. I pay my taxes and I vote. Leave me alone. I'm a good citizen. It is time for you folks out there, pick a direction, make up your mind. I'm not saying militantly go out there and shove a gun in somebody's face to make them listen to you. You've got better sense than that. You've been raised better than that. But I've already done the militia thing, and then I realized it dawned on me that, look, we have to educate people. You can train a monkey to shoot an AK, but you can't make him think. He's incapable of thinking the way you do. Now, I'm going to whip through these callers real quick. Tony in Texas, we're running out of time. Hello, Tony. Oh,
hello. Good evening, gentlemen. Hi. Just wanted to let you know that I've been listening to RBN for a while. I've been awake for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm in sales in Houston, and there's a large turnover of sales force. And the large majority of people that I talk to, that I try to invite them to go to RBN.
No long stories, Tony, please. I'm sorry.
Okay, real quick. And interestingly enough, the Asians, the Nigerians, and the Europeans get it far faster and far greater than the Americans. I don't know why. And I just want to leave you with something very quick.
Yeah.
And levity is real first. Yeah. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great night.
Thank you, Tony. 800-724-2719. Since I put that number out, Ron, you tell me to put out the number. It didn't ring.
Not once. As well.
You know, it almost feels like a threat. But I'm telling you, folks, I've been doing this for 25 years. I've done the wrong things, or I've done the right things at the wrong time. And realize that, wait a minute, this is about education. The most powerful thing in the world is knowledge. And your great big fire hose of that knowledge base is getting ready to, well, to be a straw. And you're going to have to suck real hard to get anything out of it, because it ain't going to be here. I am tired of doing this. Make a commitment. Make up your minds, folks. Either that, or you can go back listening to Sean Hannity and hoping things and praying things will turn out okay. Mark in Florida. Hello, Mark. We got less than 5 minutes.
Hey, John, everybody. I used PayPal a couple weeks ago, John. People don't know what you've been through. And I was in Michigan, 93, 94, 95, 96. And when all the stuff in Grayling started screwing everyone up and everyone abandoned ship,
yeah.
And I learned that the sergeant major was actually the informant.
Mm-hmm.
And we got screwed from the inside, and it was a terrible thing. But we did try to get together, and had it not been infiltrated by Uncle Sam and his buddies, we could have made some big changes way back then. And and the gentleman that called, I believe, what the proper procedure to go through, I don't know, but we do need to stick together somehow, some way.
Yeah. By the way, you know, Norm Olson is now in in Alaska. Anyhow,
had to get out of here.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Thank Mark, you, thank you for your call. Rob in Michigan. Hello. Hello, Rob.
John. Hey, John.
Yes.
Real quick, I'm in for $250.
You're in for $250. Thank you, sir.
Yep. And there'll be a little something extra for you to remember me by.
All right.
Okay. Okay, it'll come addressed to you, care of the network.
Okay, sounds
good.
So
I'd appreciate it if you'd open it.
Thank you for the heads up. Thank you, Rob.
You bet.
All right, sir. I'm sorry. You know, Randy is the one next. Randy, you're there. It's the right name, right?
Owen, okay. I completely feel your pain, and I feel your frustration. The only thing I need to do is ask you if I could talk to you offline. Because my problem is I feel that we need an actual platform that isn't out in the open. You know, I talk to a lot of people on Facebook, and I feel that everything that I say is being watched. I feel that our network is being watched. I say our network as in yours, but it is all of our network. I'd love to speak to you off the air.
Okay,
just
what,
find
to,
out
to
where
pick my brain to try to get some ideas on what the hell to do?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's going to cost you. I'm going to start billing out. All right, Randy.
Hey, you know what? We can do that. I will support.
Okay. You always support the guys who are on the front line, and there's a good reason for that.
Hey,
because they're on the front line. All right. Do me a favor. Just hang on. Put him on hold and get his number, and I will try to call you as soon as I can. All right. Thank you, Randy. I appreciate your call. Gentlemen, I. What does your wife think about me, Steve? Did she hear my diatribe there? Does she think?
I know she did. I can't wait to go out in the living room and see what she says.
Okay. I can't wait either. Because you know who she reminds me of.
You told me.
Yeah. Amazing.
Not a good thing.
No,
don't
it's
talk
not,
about
no,
that.
It's not. And I want to make sure that I need you to be a little bit more aggressive. Which you are not. It's not in your nature. But
no, actually it is. But John, you were on a roll today. I mean,
yeah, I know, but there were times where I wasn't, and I was going, okay, where's Steve? Did he leave the room? Did he go to sleep?
No. Do me a favor, John.
Yes,
tonight,
sir.
Have a nice cold one. A cold one. Relax. Put your feet up. Relax.
No,
good deep breath.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I could do it. Maybe I should be in God's waiting room, living two doors down, and you could do that. Invite me in.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Ron?
Got it.
Yes.
Yes. Book? Book?
Johnny was okay today.
Johnny was okay today.
Yeah, I got a little huffy on one of the callers, but he was fine.
Good, bad, or indifferent, right or wrong, I speak from the heart. Always have, always will. Folks, support us in what we're doing. Please. Or I can guarantee you the end result of not. You're going to have a lot of stuff out there that you're not going to be able to track or trace. Somebody be sitting behind a keyboard or maybe even a little camera giving their opinion. Not the people on the ground that it can actually do things when the time comes. Keep us alive, keep us ticking, and we'll keep doing our jobs. It is up to you. Thank you, gentlemen. And thank you, y'all out there. Appreciate you. Step up. Let's do this.
Hello, my name is Don Wiskin from HeartDrop.com, the distributors of Extendivite, the number one heart drop that people have been raving about for years. Every February, for the last 16 years, HeartDrop.com has had a Heart Month sale to help you stay heart healthy. For only $115 plus shipping and handling, you can get a 4-month supply of Extendivite in either liquid or capsule form to help you get started on your path to better health. Now is the time to stock up. Order what you need. Stay heart healthy all year with the number one heart drop, Extendivite. To order your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822.
928-8822 or visit our website, heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.